picture of what that should look like as we were growing up. I never had an understanding of what healthy marriage is. Actually, matter of fact, growing up, I remember there was yelling matches happening in my home often. And I thought, oh, this is maybe what I should be doing too. Just if I want to get my point across, I just have a yelling match and see who wins, right? And then growing up, even I was realizing in my teenage years, you know what? This is actually not healthy. I actually don't want to have this kind of relationship. Come to the point in my life to realize that when my parents divorced later on, they were separated but then divorced. There was a lot of stuff. I'm not going to go into details. But I came to realization as a young teenage boy that I never want to have this kind of marriage that my parents had. Never will I settle for a divorce. Never will I get into yelling matches. Never will I do all these things that I've seen growing up. And I'm going to be a caring, loving husband, and I'm going to be a caring, loving father to my kids, because there was many times that I didn't feel heard, I didn't feel I was able to express my emotions and stuff like that. So a lot of things were suppressed, and a lot of things were just kind of like boiling up there. And I grew up with this, and I thought this was okay, this was normal. And then I had my own idea. Actually, my parents never talked to me about dating. My dad, I recall one conversation we talked about, you know, and the talk was basically, David, you know, you can't have sex before marriage. It's not in the Bible. That's not how it's supposed to be done. You have to wait till you find the right one, and then you can marry, and then you can have sex. Okay, Dad. That was the extent of the conversation. My mom never ever talked to me about girls, about what I should look for, what I should strive for, and I was really confused about what's out there, what should I be looking for. Thankfully, I was connected to a really good church and a really good youth group, which wasn't a big youth group. Actually, Marco, who is here, led worship this morning. He's on staff here, by the way. Incredible young man, just got married recently. Him and his wife are going to be here later on sharing some things. But I grew up in that church, and it was a very small church, but it was a youth group of us. There was 12 of us, like 12 disciples, you know. And it was that small youth group that kept me, without going into this world and exploring all the stuff that young people were doing in school and going with girls and sleeping around, all that kind of stuff. It was that connection point with the church that really held me, protected me, I would say, from all the garbage that I could have got myself into. And that was a really good, valuable thing for me. Now, a lot of kids nowadays don't have that, unfortunately. And a lot of people growing up in this society, they don't have a healthy community where they can sit and talk about these things. And church should be the safest and the healthiest place where we can talk about these things. And I remember when Louie and Liz were here, as a part of our youth group back in the day when I was a youth pastor. They were here helping me out with the youth. And actually, even Mike and Miri were here at one point, I remember. There was a couple of you guys that were around. I remember we had conversations with the youth about sex and about love and about homosexuality and about all these things. And what does Bible? Young people are curious. And if you don't give young people the truth, they will look for the truth elsewhere. And what happened with me oftentimes growing up I knew the truth, and the truth was don't have sex before marriage, and that's the way that God wanted you to live your life, and I was trying to live that out. It was hard, a lot of temptations. As a young boy growing up, and plus chaos at home, you're trying to figure out, you're trying to find yourself in something, trying to do. Thankfully also, music was a big passion of mine, so I got involved in music, and that was like, I was all of the energy as a young teenager, I was expressing myself through that guitar. And I was angry, I'd take the guitar and just be like strumming and practicing for hours a day, take that guitar with me to when I go to washroom, wherever I go. Guitar was my girlfriend during my teenage years, which was good. because I didn't look for identity in like a person. I was looking. I had a thing that I had going, and you know, many young people nowadays. A lot of you got here as a single. You try to find yourself somewhere so that you wouldn't go and you wouldn't get bored. Because if you get bored, that's the ground for enemy to work in your life. And there's a proverb long time ago, I heard it. It goes something along the lines, if a man or a woman lacks purpose and gets bored, they will distract themselves with pleasure. And that's what happens to many people nowadays. So I didn't have a right view of even dating. I was a terrible person to date. My wife obviously came later in life, so she knew that firsthand, unfortunately, when she was dating me. I did not know what dating should look like. I didn't know. I know some people here, like Mike and Miri, you guys are like the role model for most young people, because Mike and Miri waited to have their first kiss at the altar, which is an extreme. Let's give it up. I'm just very curious to see how you guys actually, how were you able to wait, but obviously it was the Lord and all this stuff. But the Lord is able to provide what you want in life, right? And if you really want that, that's what they, and I remember even Pastor Ken saying, like, you don't meet too many couples that come to the altar and they kiss for the first time at the altar. It just doesn't happen anymore. And I wish my boys would be able to do that. I don't know. But in all this to say, and when I was dating, I only had, before my wife, I had maybe one serious relationship and another a not so serious relationship. And, you know, people say, oh, you know, I had my first kiss, unfortunately. I don't even know. I was in my teenage years, all this kind of stuff. But I didn't know anything about it. I didn't know what to do. I didn't know what was it supposed to be like. Dating was just never, ever taught in my home. There was no rules. It was like we were Christian. My dad was a pastor. So I was supposed to be some sort of example, I guess. But was I example? Probably not. So many things I had to learn, unfortunately, along the path of growing up. Thankfully, I met my beautiful wife, but there was a lot of things out of that, even dating, like dating a dating world with young people. I learned a lot of things about what I shouldn't be like, what I shouldn't do. But again, it took me years to really arrive to the point to realize there's a lot of brokenness here that I have not dealt with, that projected into all of my things that I've done, that I've tried to make happen, like dating. From dating, there was brokenness to when my wife and I got married. I had no idea, I had no plan, had no vision. And that's one of the things that I wanted to kind of share with you this morning, is I wish my wife and I went through a premarital counseling when we were getting married. We were like one of those couples, oh, we know it all. We're fine, you know. And at that time, we weren't connected with the right people, and we were kind of rushing. We're like, okay, let's get married. We got engaged. It was a quick process. We got engaged. We got married. But I wish we went through premarital counseling, because there's a lot of conversations that we didn't have until later in our marriage, and we had to go through a lot of hardship, unfortunately. I had to learn a lot of things, and I'm still learning. So basically, what I want to share with you this morning, the title, if I can call it the title of my message, is the power of vision for love. And that's why we're calling this Vision for Love. We're in the month of February. Our themes on Sundays are going to be vision of relationships. What is God's vision? What's God's plan? That kind of stuff. Tomorrow, Pastor Steve is going to come and share in the morning on that. It's going to be awesome. But today I want to share with you about the power of vision for love and why a vision for love matters. And just like anything in life, whether you're just a single guy, Nico, or you're just you're like later in your 30s and you're a single girl, lady, you're looking to get married, you want this. Whatever it is that you do in your life, if you don't have a vision, a picture of what you want, it's going to be really hard to work towards that, first of all. Second of all, if you don't have a vision and direction and a target, it's going to be like you're driving your car, you're trying to get somewhere without any directions. You don't even know where you're going. Did you ever do that? A few people sit in the car and they just drive around. Where are you going? I don't know. I'm just driving around the city. You're just going in circles and going in circles and going in circles. Some people do that for mental health purposes, which is good. I've done it multiple times over back in the day. We just sit. Or some people just go for a walk. Where are you going? I don't know. I'm just going for a walk. I need to clear my head. We do that often, especially when things get tense in life and whatever. But without vision for love, and I never had vision growing up, unfortunately, I didn't know. I was just throwing stuff at the wall and seeing if they're going to stick. And Proverbs 29:18 says this, where there is no vision, the people perish. That's one of the most popular verses. And I think you can apply this to relationships. You can apply this to anything that you have going on in your life, whether it's you have kids, you have grandkids, you have ministry, you have whatever it is that you have going on. If you don't have vision, there's going to be perishing. And what does perishing, in many different translations, means pain, suffering, conflict, you name it. It's going to be really hard to achieve anything in life, even if you're just an individual, single guy or girl, you're trying to accomplish some sort of something in life. You're like, what do I want to do? I don't know where I'm going to end up. I don't know what I'm going to do in my life. Like, if you don't have vision, it's going to be a very confusing process. And some people, it takes them years to figure out where they want to be in life, but also in relationships. So Amos 3:3 says this, can two walk together unless they agree? That's the question. And the answer to that question simply is no. You cannot go anywhere, you cannot get anywhere in life if you do not agree with a person that you are with or that you're wanting to be with. So whether you're single or married, having a vision will prevent unnecessary pain, build strong relationships, and it will align us with God's purpose. That's what vision will do in your life. It will help you avoid the pain. Now, some people here this morning, or some people that you know in your life, they're like, I want to go through pain and suffering. And I want to go and date everybody that I can date and just suffer it. And, you know, I just want to go from this to that. I'm just going to try it all. I'm going to drive. I'm going to go to a dealership, and I'm going to drive every single car that's on the lot, take a test drive, every single car there, and then at the end of the day, I'm going to decide not to go with a single car because none of the cars were good. And that's what young people live like today. They say, I need to test drive, you know, before I commit to anything, we have to move in together, we have to live together, we have to sleep together. And it's just a false, devil-painted lie for young generations today to actually believe this, that you need to test drive before you commit. No, you don't, especially when it comes to relationships. There is a right way to do things, and we'll talk about that in a moment, but you can avoid pain, and you can build strong relationships. And you can, the most important thing is align your life with God's vision for your life and what He wants you to be if you have vision for love. So, singles, all the singles. I didn't plan to do this, but all the singles in the house, can you raise your hand? Singles, okay, so we have a few singles. That's really amazing. I'm glad that you guys came because all of us that were married here, all the married people, raise your hand. You see, all of these people, they were single at one time too. Do you believe that? There was a time, a place when they were single and they were in the same position. But you can look to them and say, wow, look at that. God blessed them so God can bless me too. And that's why I love church, because church is a place where you can be encouraged to see someone like Pastor Ken and Kay being married for 60 years or 70 years. Let's give it up for that. That's an accomplishment. Where you say, wow, like Pastor Ken and Kay have been married for 7 years, I can be married for 7 years. There gives me hope, you know? It gives me hope. There is hope for love, right? And that's why I think for young people nowadays, like you're everywhere else except the church, but the church is the place where you get encouraged to say, hey, there's people here that have good marriages. There's people here that don't have good marriages, but that's okay. That gives me hope that God will provide for me someone that I need. So young people, before you enter a relationship, you first must know who you are in Christ. Your identity is in Christ alone and nothing else. Because you're going to be ready for love when you don't need to feel complete. And you know the statement when people say, and this is like, I don't know what movie this was back in the 70s, but there you go, Love Actually. You complete me, right? The statement that the relationship will complete someone. And that's a lie that young people believe. I just need to have someone in my life to feel complete. I feel so lost. I'm going around in circles. I'm lonely and I'm broken. And I just need that person to walk in my life and I will feel complete. All of my problems will go away. And that is the lie that a lot of young people believe nowadays. I would say 99% of people believe that lie. And they're lost, going in circles. But here's the point. Yes, you were made for a relationship, but before there was a relationship, before God created a relationship between Adam and Eve, there was a relationship between God and Adam that was there in place. Before anything came, before anything was happening, there was a relationship that God said, God created a human being, and God created everything, they created Adam, and they were hanging out as buddies, best buddies, and there was this purpose, and there was this unity with God that Adam had before the actual perfect woman walked into his life. Do you believe that? That before a perfect woman or a husband walks into your life, they're not going to be perfect, sorry. I meant to say, like, before they walk into your life, whoever that person is, you need to establish your identity and your purpose and your life in a relationship with Christ, with God. That's where everything starts. Because if you're not, if you don't have that as the foundation, you will be hurt and going from one relationship to another, and it's just going to be pain and suffering. That's why I always say to young people, when it comes to even choosing your partner, you better choose someone that has the same values, has same beliefs like you, because if you don't, it's going to be even more painful as you head into that. So Adam first knew his master, God, before woman walked into his life. So he had a foundation that he was building his life. But then not only that, he had something else. God gave Adam a calling and a task and a mission before he had knew a woman, before Eve walked in. He had mission as well. And this mission was given, God gave him this mission, and he said, listen, I want you to take care of the earth. I want you to work. I want you to do this and do this. Here's millions of animals, name them all. He gave him something to do, something to be busy with. And we talked about how boredness is a plate for the enemy to do whatever. But he was busy with the calling, and he had a calling and a mission. So he had a relationship with God. He had a calling. He knew what he was created for. Before Eve even walked in, Pastor Mike Todd, I remember we did a relationship series, he was talking about this aspect. It was somebody else that was talking about this a long time ago, but I have never, thankfully I had a job before we got married. My wife and I got married. I got a job just recently before that. There's a lot of young people, I just want to get married, I just want to have a relationship. They don't even have a job, they don't have a purpose, they don't have a career. And then they don't even know what it means to like be in Christ, what it means to find your identity in Christ, to have a relationship with Christ. But they think relationship is gonna, if I have a relationship, it's gonna fix all my problems, and then I can deal with all my career calling, and I can deal with all my my relationship with God later. That's not how it's supposed to be. A relationship does not complete you. It reveals your completeness in Christ. And this is why God has put us in relationships, because it reveals whether we're completing Christ or not. When you're in a relationship and God puts someone in your life, it's going to reveal things, and y'all, most of the time, it's going to reveal things that you don't want to be revealed. In my own life, oh man, I've learned so much about myself because of my beautiful wife that's been there to point that out in a very loving way. But all the men sitting here, same thing goes for you. You know, if it wasn't for your wife, you wouldn't be a man that you are today. You wouldn't be so patient, so kind, so caring, so loving. We need women to make us into God, what God has called us to be. That's part of the story. So a relationship does not complete you. It reveals your completeness in Christ. And then you need to ask yourself a question. If you're single here this morning, am I seeking a relationship to fill a void, or am I already fulfilled in God? If you're single here this morning, if you are fulfilled in God and you have found your purpose in your relationship with Christ, you will not need anybody to fulfill you at this moment. You will not, that's the need that you may have, and you may not be called to celibacy and you have a need to have a relationship, but God is going to provide that in your life after you have that relationship with God first. So, complete yourself in Christ first. Be so lost in God that someone has to see God to find you if you're single. Be so lost in Him, seek Him so much, put your life and your everything in that relationship with Christ that you are so with God that when someone wants to find you, they have to go to God to find you. Okay, that's how it should be for single people. Unfortunately, it's flipped and it's the other way around. Oh, let me get my need of being with someone first, and then we'll work on the spiritual stuff later. No, spiritual stuff first, and then everything else. So find your completeness in God. And the second thing for single people here, and everybody that's listening online, find your mission before you find your mate. I talked about this a little bit. Genesis 2:15, Adam had a job before he had a wife. I mentioned this. And he had a purpose, but he also had passion. And he had a strong mission that protected him from falling into relationships out of boredom, out of loneliness, and out of pressure of the society. And we live in a world, unfortunately, with social media, there's pressure from the society. And they say this even openly, and they say, if you're single, something is wrong with you. There's all these kinds of apps. There's devil apps as well. They're called Tinder. Straight from the hell, from the pit of hell, where you swipe right and go have a one-night stand with someone. I'm calling this out. Tinder, there's a couple other apps that are just like that too. That is designed by the enemy to destroy young people. That's what it is. And if you're single and young and you have that app on your phone, you'd better delete it right now after this session. Your career and your calling, your career and calling, there's two different things. And when I was growing up, I remember my pastor, young youth pastor, said this clearly, and this stuck with me forever. And there's a difference between career and calling, but then he was talking about how calling is more important than career. Career is what you do for income, but your calling is what you do for impact, what we do for the kingdom. And I remember my pastor, his name was Roja, weird name, I know, but he said this. He said, David, and he was talking to us young people, there was only 12 of us, he said, there's two things in life you got to figure out. You got to figure out your calling, and you got to figure out your spouse, whoever that is. And if you figure those two things out, your life is going to be amazing. It's not going to be easy, but it's going to be amazing. Because if you have a calling that God has put in you, and you are in the calling, but your spouse is not on board with that, it's going to be a very painful experience. Then he also said, if you have a spouse that's amazing, incredible and stuff, but you don't have a calling for what God has made you and what God, the purpose that He's put in, that whole thing about why does God have me on this earth for, it's going to be suffering and pain because you're going to be having this great relationship, but then you will not know what to come, what to expect, what's my calling. And before Eve came into the picture, Adam knew his calling and he knew what he was supposed to do. God has put him in place to accomplish something, to work, to tend the ground, to take care of the Garden of Eden, which was beautiful, to tend the animals. He had a purpose. So your career is what you do for income, but your calling is what you do for impact. And always look for impact first because that is the most important part for all the young people, single, or even people that are married. What is your calling? Why does God have you on this earth for? What is God? And then that calling, application for all the single people in here, that calling, before you look for love and you look for that someone special, ask yourself, what is my purpose, number one? Number two, where is God calling me to serve? What's my calling? What am I supposed to do with my life? And then the third most important question out of this is, how will a relationship that I'm looking for align with my calling? You get it? How will that person that I'm going to meet tomorrow in church or in some other church or conference or whatever, how will that person complement my vision, my calling, my purpose that I have been put on this earth for? This is some really foundational stuff that I wish I knew back 20 years ago. I didn't, but I'm hoping that you're sitting here and you're going to learn from this. So that's for the single people. What's your purpose? What's your calling? And then go look for the partner, and then you will be, God is going to guide you in that. But then the second thing is, why is vision important for marriage and for relationships here, for those that are married, there's unity when you have vision. You're walking together. Like that verse said, when there is no vision, how can two people walk together when there is no agreement? There's no possible way for you to walk down the same path if you don't agree. You need to agree first. So a shared vision keeps marriage strong. It prevents division, and then it aligns both partners with God's plan. That's why we, as married couples and in those who are in a relationship going, looking forward to marriage, you need to align with what is God's plan for our life and us as a couple, as a married couple. Marriage without a vision leads to frustration. And I wish that I did better in this area and that I had a vision for my wife and I when we got married. I didn't have vision. I didn't know anything about this. We just got married and we just thought we're going to figure this thing out. And there was a lot of frustration that came with that. And when you don't have clarity, you don't have vision, you don't know where you're going. Frustration upon frustration. And we could have avoided probably a lot of frustration if we had a vision of what is it that we are to do together and also for the Lord. So a relationship without direction turns into a distraction. And when there's no direction, we're going to be going in circles and we're going to be distracted, and then we're going to be, and this happens to young people nowadays, that even people that are married, they say we're lonely. We're just sitting on our cell phones and talking to other people. We're not talking to each other. There's loneliness. There's distraction because there's no clear direction and purpose. So many couples, they focus on wedding planning, which is great. I have nothing against wedding planning. Put all the money, energy into wedding planning and making this day be special and amazing, but they don't focus in life planning. And I like Pastor Ken's first session that he does for the premarital counseling. In the first session, he opens up. He said it's like trying to fly a plane without any instructions. Like people prepare for, you know, you want to be a doctor, you got to go to school for at least eight years to become a doctor. You want to become an engineer, at least 4 years preparation part. Whatever it is that the world has got this thing figured out. They said if you want to become something, you've got to do training, you've got to do education, blah, blah, blah. But then here we are going into marriage without any care, without any idea. Oh, we're gonna fly this plane together and we're just going to figure it out once we're up in the air. And when we're up in the air, we're going to try to figure out this plane, how it's going to go. But that's not how it works. Even pilots, I think their training is very extensive. So many couples will focus on this wedding planning and this wedding day and all this money, all this effort. But life planning is way more important. And Luke 11:17 says this, a house divided against itself will fall. It will fail. When a house is not in unity, when there's no unity, it will fall. It will fall apart. So vision will bring unity. It will remove all the confusion. And it will also create excitement in marriage. Why do we get bored in our relationships? And why do we not have excitement? Because there's no unity and there's confusion and there's no vision of what are we to do. Right? That's why couples split up. That's why couples walk away, because they get bored. They come to the point, they say, oh, we fall out of love. You know, 10 years ago, we were so in love, but now it's 10 years later, we fall out of love because there was no clear direction. There was no clear vision. There was no purpose. There was not none of that. So all these things just enter in and just people fall out of it so easily. So all the couples in here, what is the purpose for your marriage? Do you have a purpose? If you're engaged, about to get married, what is the purpose? Another question is, how are we operating in the calling that God has put in our life? How are we serving God together? And then the last one is, how do we want our relationship to reflect God's glory to other people? So when people look to us, they say, wow, these guys, they don't have it all together, but they're really working. They're really making this happen. And the last thing I wanna close with is I'll talk about a little bit about God's timing and human timing, and then we're gonna have some coffee. Genesis 2:21, it says, Adam was asleep while God prepared Eve. Did you know that there was a time? First of all, there was a time of searching. God and Adam joined together to look for appropriate partner for Adam. And they were on a search together. It's actually in the Bible. I don't know if you ever read that portion in the beginning. But they were on a search looking for someone that's going to be a suitable partner for Adam. And Adam was like there, okay, well, God, okay, let's go try to figure it out together. So they went into the garden. They looked at all the animals. They looked at all the monkeys. They looked at all whatever looked like human, close to human form. And God was like, hey, you know what? Like, this is not going to work. I have missed one part. God probably didn't say that, but I'm sure God was like, and actually, they say in the Bible, like God is like, they searched, they couldn't find anybody. So God was like, okay, let's put this guy to sleep. Let's do a surgery. And then Adam fell asleep, and then God had a surgery, took the rib out, created a woman. And it's amazing how while Adam was sleeping, and this is the point that I'm trying to make here, while Adam was sleeping, God was working and making something beautiful for him. While Adam was resting in God, not himself, but in God and his provision, God was creating something beautiful. He created a woman for him. And he knew exactly what he needed. He knew exactly where he was. And he knew exactly to the point of every single square inch on woman's body was created for Adam. Every single square inch. So Adam was resting. God was working. And for all the single people here, you can just rest in God's timing, and you can know that God has a plan and a purpose, if this is what you desire, relationship, that God will, as you're resting in him, as you're sleeping and relying on him, that he will create and he will bring a suitable partner for you. Because impatience leads first to settling. You either wait for God's best or you ask God to fix what you rushed into. And yes, unfortunately, myself, we were the second part of this. You rush into something and then you're trying to fix it. And then that's a much harder process where you're trying to fix things after you make a decision. So be patient. Avoid comparing yourself to other people, other marriages, other relationships. Your story, every single one of you as individuals, every single one of you here, your story is unique because God has created you unique in a very unique way. You're different than even your partner that's sitting there with you. You see, don't compare yourself to anybody else because God has a plan for your life and God has a plan for your future. So all the singles here, trust God's process. Do not rush because of all the external pressures. Well, you know, they're married, so I got to be married too. Find your identity and purpose in Christ's relationship with him first before you make any decision. Let God complete you. Then go to your calling as well. Calling is a big part of that. And then trust God in this process and let him bring someone in your life that you, if you're praying for it, that you will see come to pass. A lot of young people, they're wanting to get into something. They settle for whatever. They're impatient. They settle. Or they just don't pray. They don't care. They don't involve God in their process. They're just like, I'm just going to do my own thing, and I'm just going to make my own decisions. And then they end up being hurt, and it's just a painful experience that you don't have to go through as a single individual. If you're married, just avoid comparing yourself to your spouse to anybody else or any other marriage around you. Focus on building what God has put you together for. Focus on building together your own story, because that is the story that God is writing for you. And don't take the pen out of God's hand and say, I'm going to write my own story. God is writing your own story. And even all the brokenness and all the pain and all the suffering that you have been through, you've experienced. Some of you here have been divorced. And all those things, I believe that God is still going to be this beautiful storyteller that's going to write your story. And out of that story, he's going to make something beautiful that other people will be encouraged by. And he's going to say, here is something that was broken, but that I made whole. And this is what's possible because God was a part of the story. God always turns the worst of situations into the best of situations. God always takes the worst things that we go through and he makes them into something beautiful. So, just to close off with this, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to take so much time. But hopefully there's some good things that you're learning because I'm learning myself. For all the singles here, I want to encourage you to position yourself in the right places. And to be in the right places, if you want to see that right person, you're not going to find the right person in a club or in a place that is dark and is worldly. You're going to find the right person in a church, mission, small groups, wherever it is. You know, there's a biblical example in the Old Testament specifically how often almost every marriage had started at the well. Did you know that most of the marriages in the beginning, you're looking at Rebecca, Rachel, Zipporah, Moses, all of these people, every marriage has started at the well, and the well is the place where life comes. Well is a place, and well, what I believe what well represents for us today is the church of Christ. It is the fellowship where we are together, and I believe that for most young people that are looking, they will find the right person at the well if they're open to it. Avoid looking for godly spouse in ungodly places because you will not find them. On Tinder, you will not find a godly spouse on Tinder. It's just not going to happen because everybody on Tinder is there for a one-night stand. There's no godliness in there. There's only brokenness and there's only everything from the pit of hell. So, young person, if you're single or looking for marriage, write down your vision for your future relationship and pray over it. That's my advice I want to give you as a friend, as a pastor. And then all the married couples, one of the big things that you can do is you can talk to your spouse. You can talk about the vision, whether it's a vision retreat, you go somewhere. You don't even have to go. You can just have a conversation over coffee. But talk about, pray about things, plan together, set goals. Spend some time without distractions where you talk about spirituality, emotional, finances, goals and dreams and whatever it is that you want to accomplish, and then pray over those things because God is able to accomplish all those things if you really believe it, you really want it. So when we as partners are both aligned in that same vision, marriage becomes a place of growth, not just survival. We don't just survive, you know, whatever place where a lot of people in a place of marriage are just, how are we guys doing? We're just surviving. We're just getting by. And yes, there's seasons when you have kids and things are crazy, and I understand we have kids and things can really get crazy sometimes. But we don't want to be in this state of survival. We're just surviving another day. Or we come to the end of the day, we're like, oh, I'm so tired. I survived today. Let's go on tomorrow to survive another day. No. God wants you to thrive in your marriage, in your relationship. God wants you to grow. He wants you to expand. He wants you to experience all the beauty of life because the reason he's put us on this earth was also he put them in the most beautiful place on earth, which was Garden of Eden. They had everything they needed. It was also to enjoy. And also intimacy was also to enjoy. It wasn't only for procreation, to have kids. All of these things God has created so that we would enjoy and love and really, if we're a married couple, that we would get to experience it together. We would be aligned together and we would strive to say, okay, God, we want to enjoy life, but we also want to make sure that we're fulfilling our purpose that you put us together for. So all the single people here, don't just wait, prepare, build your relationship with God, focus on your calling. If you're married here, unite together in one vision. Don't just exist. Thrive together. Jeremiah 29:11 says this. I'm going to end with this. It says, "For I know the plans that I have for you, to give you hope and a future." Whatever stage in life you're at, God wants to give you hope and he wants to give you future. And he has great hope that he wants to give you. He has a great future for you. Do you believe that this morning? Okay. Good. Because I also believe it and I want to believe it. We're going to end this first session. What I thought about doing is just really quick out of this session, if there was one thing that stood out to you, that really spoke to you, that you can just share with the person beside you, and just share that one thing, just practically, here's what spoke to me, and then let's do that for like a minute so that we can kind of like pass the knowledge, and then we can go out, have some coffee, and then we'll be back here at about 10:45, and Pastor Kenny is going to share his message with us. Are you guys good with that? Okay, just before you walk out, turn to someone beside you, whoever, if you have someone. If you don't, just go to someone that's there, that's single, alone, and just ask him, what's the one thing that kind of spoke to you? And then we'll finish off.